Sanusha Naidu, a happy Varakashmi Vratam. Did I say it right? It didn't sound right. It definitely didn't.
Good morning, Howard. No, you got it right. I mean, come on, I don't expect perfection.
No, I expect perfection. Help me. How do I say it again?
It's Happy Varalakshmi Day.
Varalakshmi Day. Oh, okay. So what's Vratam?
It's the kind of attachment that you have to that. It's just a phrase that you have. It's a kind of like auspicious phrase that you use with it.
Oh, I see. But those of us in the know can just drop it. Am I right?
Yeah,
exactly.
The most important thing is that you're wishing people important prosperity, wealth, happiness, not just in terms of financial gain, but just blessings in everything that you do. So it's just the auspicious nature of the day-to-day where everyone is sending messages around and preparing all the lovely goodies.
That was my next question, is what is your favorite food associated with this festival?
Oh, God, there's so many. What do I say? I mean, there's all kinds of things. We have a lamp that is made from rice flour.
Yeah.
We have rice that's cooked into and sweetened with almonds and butter and milk.
Right.
Then we have, we use condensed milk as well.
Yes, that's important. Always.
We have our Indian dessert called Payasam, which is used with condensed milk. There's a whole lot of things. The question is, you just got to make sure you don't go overboard.
And of course you go overboard. And you meant to. That's what these festivals are for. You meant to feel completely ill afterwards and then you start to recover. So I think that's awesome. Well, wishing you all of those wonderful, wonderful things on this day. And I appreciate you chatting to us as well, specifically this morning, because given the fact that it is a festival. So, Sanusha, we wanted to talk about the situation with Mapisa Ngakula. She's now the speaker, but it's a bit of a mess, isn't it?
Well, it's unfortunate, and it's a very not disturbing, but I think it's a missed opportunity from the perspective of the ruling party and the fact that she, I don't know whether it was the kind of condition under which she would have been reshuffled or left the position, but I mean, this doesn't really bode well. Where do we go from here? We have to watch and see what she does, how she manages that position she has as the executive authority within the National Assembly, whether or not she, you know, assumes that position with trying not to allow all the shadows that hang over her and these clouds of controversy that hang over her to impede or to essentially impact on what she does. And I think that's going to be the big test as she goes forward. Is there's going to be a constant watching brief. She's going to be constantly under the microscope around this, because it's going to be not just the fact that she is a controversial individual, comes into the position with controversies behind her, but also she's being investigated by the parliament, by the Standing Committee on Defence, which has initiated an investigation into her alleged corruption with the contract, as well as receiving kickback from that company that eventually got the defense contract. And I think the kickbacks are in the region of about Rand. Sorry. And to a large extent, I think these are all of those issues that she has to navigate and say that, you know, those issues, whilst they are being investigated and whilst I have these controversies lurking over my head, I can still do this job. And right now, I think the opposition has come together in a very interesting way. Yes, some yesterday said that, you know, it is the nature of the legislature. The majority of party has elected her, I think, around about two-thirds, just under 50% of the MPs in the National Assembly. Voted, which was 199 votes that voted in favor of her. But I think at the end of the day, the problem is she's got to navigate this space. She's got to deal with a very aggressive EFF in the parliament. And the EFF is, you know, does not hold back its punches. It doesn't make life easy for any speaker, like we saw with Beleka and Betty, where at times, I think the only speaker that I felt could handle the EFF in Parliament was Thandi Modise. And she did it in a way that she didn't allow them to get under her skin. She kept to the rules. She made sure she was as calm as possible. But I think this is going to be the big test. And the EFF can become quite irritating to a speaker in the way that they apply their methodology, their interventions, and use the point of order as a constant default strategy, looking at the rules, throwing the rules out and saying, hang on, you're not doing what you're supposed to do. So that's just the technical part of it. And then there's the content and the process part of it, where she has to also deal with processes of legislation that come before the National Assembly. Some of it will be controversial legislation, like the amendment to Section 25 of the Constitution. And to that extent, how she navigates it and doesn't allow any kind of party influence to emerge in there. And I think these are going to be, she has to have metal, and she has to not basically become goaded into becoming erratic in her behavior in the National Assembly.
The interesting thing for me is that, or the biggest concern for me, is that the ANC hasn't really, or doesn't seem to have learned its lesson, in that somebody could be mired in corruption and all sorts of allegations, but they're still quite happy to put them forward for a prime spot in the National Assembly.
Yeah, I mean, you would think that after everything that we've heard at the Zondo Commission, after everything that we know about how you deal with people that are mired in controversy, that have a credibility crisis hanging over their head, their objectivity, their moral compass is being tested because they've been, you know, this is not the first time that the former defense minister has courted controversy. She's courted controversy where she gave a lift to, I think it was her late son's girlfriend from Burundi.
Yes.
Then, of course, there was the whole taxify trip with the ANC to Zimbabwe. There's been these controversies that have basically followed her. And she's been very, if I could be bold to say, she's been very nonchalant in responding to them, actually saying, well, taking a very kind of arrogant approach to it. And this is not the kind of leadership you want in the National Assembly. And this is not the kind of leadership you want the ANC to reward. And I think that's the problem. The problem is that these are individuals, yes, they played a critical role in different aspects of the party. They command particular space in the party, as well as they've been, she's been, I think, the longest serving minister in South Africa's post-94 period. But at the end of the day, you've got to also say to them and appeal to them and say, it's time to look at that, at that space where you need to maybe give way to younger people. And I think this was the missed opportunity. Don't reward people or think that because there's some level in which the Women's League is going to be quite upset with you because you've essentially moved somebody who's a woman who heads up a very important portfolio in the country. And of course, you've reshuffled her. Now, this is going to cause all kinds of backlash. I think you've got to start empowering women. You know, it shouldn't be a numbers game. It shouldn't be a quid pro quo approach in terms of I shuffle one minister out and I replace her with another minister, but the person that I'm shuffling out hasn't really got a good track record. So to me, I think these kinds of tactics and trajectories and these kinds of decision making just doesn't do it for the ANC anymore. They don't take the confidence of the people. They don't make us feel as if they really genuinely concerned about what's going on and all of what they say that they pay lip service to. So it's a bit disturbing and unfortunate that whatever the president said at the Zondo Commission about tackling these kinds of issues between party and state, keeping that kind of deployment strategy and factionalism outside of the state, etc., didn't come to pass with the election the former defense minister. Because I think at the end of the day, the problem is how much more are you going to allow these different battle lines to determine what you do. You've got to start somewhere. And if you keep playing into these battle lines and say, no, but you need to take it easy, otherwise too soon, or you need to play the long game, well, the long game may just become the end of the game for you.
Absolutely right. I could not have said it better myself. This is where I leave you. Sanusha Naidu, thank you as always, and I hope you have a fantastic day and that your year is filled with all the blessing that the day entails.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to all the listeners. It's not just the Hindus, it's universal. So
wonderful.
Incredible blessings to everybody. And in these times, unprecedented times, I think we need it.